Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Got it caught! Touchdown! Oh my gosh! How did that happen? He's got it from 59 yards away for the win!
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Kerry Limousine, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio WOKV and exclusively from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Brian Sexton, along with my broadcast partner Jeff Lagerman, John Osher, senior writer at Jaguars.com, John Deneen's alongside for the second straight week. Good to see you, Johnny. And, of course, Joe Fortunato is here to make sure this whole program stays on the rails. All right, scorecard time. I think a week ago, John and I thought that we would be talking about camp opening tonight. You did not. So you've got scoreboard at this point. What do you feel now, having had a chance to catch up on today's news?
Well, I think it's going to get done. I just don't know exactly how long it take. It may get pushed back maybe a day, maybe two. But I think at some point tomorrow, you know, certainly by Friday, I think we're going to have a deal.
Okay. So players vote tomorrow. And the word from Chris Mortensen is that the players and the executive committee, I guess it's not the executive committee, it's the 32 team reps.
The board of player reps.
Board of player reps gave D. Smith the vote of confidence to go ahead and finish the deal. And then
they gave him and the executive committee the authority to go ahead and iron out the details and approve the deal. But you still have to have the reorganization of the union and then the vote of the players, which is 50% plus one player, to approve this thing. That will merely be a formality.
So just like they voted all last fall to be able to decertify.
That's right.
They've probably set up the same process to be able to recertify.
Yeah, all it's going to take is once the executive committee and DeMaurice Smith sign off on the deal, then the formality is just getting the votes from the individual players, which, you know, obviously you can't do that until you get all the players back in camp. Right. So, I mean, that's going to take some time, and you're not going to have that before they report to camp. That's just going to be a formality that will happen at a later date.
All right. John, your thoughts as we sit here today? And the word is from, and these are writers, so I should ask you your opinion on these writers and their opinion before I give their names. But Alex Marvez, Fox Sports, says that the delay, his sources tell him the delay is sheer volume of material that must be reviewed. That's what's slowing it down from a player's perspective this evening.
Alex is solid, and if he's writing it, I tend to believe it. And I'm not sure that, you know, Jeff deserves that much scoreboard. I think I've been saying all along this thing's going to get done without missing games.
Right. So well, we got a little competition here.
I think we'll both have a little bit of scoreboard. But, I mean, that said, obviously people want a quick, easy end to things. And when you have this many people on these sides reviewing this many documents, a quick, easy end is not realistic. But I think Jeff and I agree that, you know, you're seeing it within a day, within a couple of days. It's the nailing down process at this point.
From what I have read and what's been reported, I mean, some of the changes are far-reaching, you know, from the way you conduct training camp to the off-season workouts.
Well, what stands to you? I mean,
everything.
As a player, as a retired player, what about that change do you like?
Well, I like the idea of only having one padded practice in training camp.
One a day.
Well, I mean, because, you know, the commissioner in the league comes off being hypocrites if they're pushing player safety, player safety, player safety, and finding players out the wazoo when it's been proven in the medical studies that have been done that repetitive contact is what can damage the brain. Well, having 3 weeks of two-a-days and hitting and busting heads twice a day, why would you want to have that? So I was hoping that something like that would come of it. I just didn't know that they would have the player side would have the clout to do that. And it's smart, and I'm glad that it has been accomplished. I've said all along, two-a-days are archaic. They're not needed anymore. When football has become a year-round sport to where they're training with OTAs and year-round workouts now, first and foremost is that the human brain is not meant to hit each other twice a day every day. And the way it's become a year-round sport, it's not needed. I told you, and boy, for the last however many years we've been working together since 03, that we could sit there and could almost cut the roster, for the most part, after, you know, a week. And we would have a pretty strong idea, although we wanted to see some games because sometimes practices and games are a little bit different. But you don't need all that banging in training camp. So I was glad to see that. I was glad to see that free agency was going to stay at 4 years. That makes a lot of sense. And then I don't know what the rules are going to be about as far as the amount of OTAs and on-the-field stuff, but that's definitely got to be, I don't want to say cut back.
Controlled.
But, it's got to be controlled because, you know, when this whole thing really kind of started out, the OTAs, boy, they were really followed to the letter. They had people there that were watching. Hey, that's too much. You can't do that. You know, over the years, you know, you start creeping a little bit. You start creeping a little bit, and all of a sudden, it's really physical. You know, what we saw last year was very physical, and it's gotten physical to the point where, because you're not in pads, it becomes a risky activity. And so curbing some of that, I think, is good. But, you know, I'm glad to see that the retired players were, and I'm not a part of that, you know, because most of it is pre-93 retired players, you know, so it doesn't affect me. But I was glad to see some of those players taken care of from pre-93 to where the retirement package that they had earlier on, it was terrible, that was put in the package, understandably, or, you know, the way I'm assuming. I was glad that, as I said a week or two ago, and I got kind of PO'd at DeMaurice Smith because he wanted the owners to fund all of the retired player package, and that it is now, from what I understand, nearly 50-50 with the owners maybe funding slightly more than 50% of the retired players package. So, I mean, there are a lot of good things in that. And, you know, it's not always about, hey, or do we got to take less? It's not always about that. It's got to be more than just a number. And I think they got to that point as a union, and I think they got to that point with ownership as well. I think, you know, the ownership deserves a lot of credit in a lot of that. So, you know, I walked into the building today, and I happened to see Dolores and Wayne Weaver, and we didn't talk about the deal or anything. They were going down the hall. There was a lot of smiles on them. And I know they're not that happy to see me.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Look, there's Jeff. We've been waiting to see you, big boy.
Yeah.
On the subject of two-a-days, I spoke to a coach today who made the point, I think the elimination of two-a-days is going to make a lot of fans, you know, they kind of go nuts. Oh, they're not, you know, why they're not doing two-a-days. They're not doing as much as maybe they did last year. This coach said, realistically, they haven't had true two-a-days in a long time.
No, but
a lot
do.
Of what this is more putting in writing what most teams are already doing.
Well, you know, there are a lot of teams that are still doing two-a-days.
Not in pads.
You'd be surprised.
Really? I know they haven't done it here for a while.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I can remember my days in New York, and then clearly my days here with Tom Coughlin. We were all jealous of the Buffalo Bills, the San Francisco 49ers, because they didn't have two practices a day that were padded. You know, and I hope that soon that the College Football Association, is that what it's called? All of the collection of colleges, you know, whatever.
CFA.
Will follow suit, and instead of having two-a-days in a compressed window, maybe open the window up a little bit and only have one padded practice a day, because the brain is not meant to handle that.
Right.
So, I hope.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get John's big picture thoughts and continue our discussion of a pending labor resolution. And, of course, we hope to talk some football in this program as well. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field. Sexton, Lagerman, Osher, Deneen, Fortunato here. Hi, Joe. Nice to see you. You get all your printer issues resolved? Joe was not with us in the first segment.
I did.
Okay.
I was with you in spirit, though.
Good. Glad to hear that. All right, as promised, view from 10,000 feet your perspective on the new CBA. Again, what you know of it.
I kind of defer to what Jeff said. I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think, you know, as we've discussed throughout, it was going to get to a point late in the process where both sides had to give up things they didn't want to give up. But, you know, I just can't help but think that the players have to feel very good about the process and about the fact that it got done before there's going to be a lot of negative fallout. It's been interesting in the Ozone the last couple of weeks. There were always five or six emails a day negative. I'm not coming back. This is ridiculous. I'm done. In the last week, very few of those and a lot of people saying, I got my season tickets in the mail. I'm fired up. Let's go. So always thought as long as they didn't miss games, there would be very little negative PR out of this. And I'm sure there are a few fans who are right in and saying, I'm still ticked off. I missed my off season. But overall, if this gets done in the next couple of days, this went about as well as a major renegotiation of a labor agreement, which this was, can go. And I think if they get it done, we can move on and
John's still talking in past tense a little bit. I'm not quite ready to do that. It has gone so far, you know, as well as you could expect it.
Right.
There's still some things to iron out, and hey, there's been many business deals that have fallen apart at the 12th hour, and so I don't expect that to happen. But you know, I'm a realist. You know, I mean, things like that can happen.
Do you remember in 2006, you and I were sitting in here. Vic was reporting on the labor negotiations from Orlando, and as Vic went through the details, we knew that was a problem. I mean, mm-hmm. We knew that the split was for this market. We knew that that was not going to work. As you look at this, and when we knew they were going to opt out in 8 and lock out in 11, I mean, it was just clear from the moment they left the table. Are there any warning signs based on what you've seen? Again, it's not done, but what you've seen or heard or read that make you think that this is going to eventually suffer the same fate and one side or the other is going to go, hey, well, hold on.
Well, the best part about the deal that is being talked about and we're looking to have it approved in the next couple of days is the first thing that I was excited to hear is that this is a 10-year deal. You know, to me, that's the best part of the conversation. Because if all of a sudden you had a 5-year deal, you'd have people going, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to be dealing with this, you know, in another 5 years. I mean, this, from what it appears to be, is planned to be a long-term solution to labor peace. And that's what I like best about this. And you're hearing negative from the player side about certain things that, you know, they would like to have, and then you're hearing some negative things from the owners. But, you know it's a good deal when nobody's completely happy, you know, because if you made everybody happy, then somebody's going to get – feels like they're getting screwed.
Right.
You know, and so from everything you're hearing, and you haven't heard a lot because of all this, you know, this veil of secrecy that was put over it, and you're not allowed to comment on it. But everything that you're hearing through sources – seems to be positive, because it's not all positive.
Any thoughts on that?
I think it's good.
All right.
I think I'm kind of scared to talk in the past tense because a lot of it keeps on hammering for.
But I just like we've got a little competitiveness going here.
And
now, can you
the
growl?
Tone of what I was saying was that it looks like it's going to get done, and if it gets done at this point, I think the process, considering how far apart they were and considering the saber rattling throughout, has gone about as well as could be expected with as little fallout as could be expected. Now, and it's a positive thing.
About 4 minutes here before we break for news at the bottom of the hour. And that means that if something does get done, right, by Friday, you know, 11:47 in the evening, hey, we're done, enjoy your weekend. By the way, you know, players are showing up Monday or whatever. How awkward is it going to be for these owners to have to put money on the table in free agency, because now they have to spend 90% of the cap, right? Or more than that. You're going to be putting some money out for guys, and you're not going to get the full chance to evaluate them. And so for this team in particular, and you know that Gene and his crew are ready to go, it's going to be a really busy week.
Yeah, a real busy week. And what they're talking about is a 3-day window to sign your own. And, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, trying to sign your own, but I think the first thing that this football team will do is One is to try to do that at the same time as signing the rookie free agents.
Right.
To me, those are of equal importance. And because you've got to, number one, fill out your roster. And we were talking about the possibility, and I think the Hall of Fame game is slated to be played on August 7th. And the expected, you know, camp opening date, I think, is right around August 1, I think, is what they're maybe expecting. Boy, you know, there may be some teams going to camp that don't even have a full roster. You know,
this one might be one of them.
Yeah. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. And in my opinion, the Hall of Fame game needs to be thrown out. It would not be fair to the two teams to play in the Hall of Fame game on a very short window, in which the short window you didn't even have the offseason.
Right. Well, then you got a short camp the rest of the way because you don't ever have any extended time.
I think it puts players at risk unnecessarily for a game that it is very popular. I mean, it beats baseball's featured game that weekend.
It's the first one.
Year in and year out. You know, Sunday night baseball or whatever their baseball game of the week is, I mean, the Hall of Fame game crushes it. You know, so, I mean, it is more popular, but at the same time, is it worth it? And to me, it's not worth it. And the reports are coming out that they're talking about playing it. I think that's not very smart.
Just to put it in perspective, the two teams, the Rams and the Bears, who are supposed to play in that, were scheduled to open camp this week, the 22nd. So Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, there's...
Yeah, they need to bag that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Even
days.
Doing it for the second week is a rush at this point. Doing it for that one's ridiculous.
Yeah, that makes zero sense. And I don't know if, you know, they're waiting for the last minute to maybe say, hey, we're just not going to do this, and, you know, keeping the hope alive. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to benefit anybody. You know, how many people attend that game? 40,000 people.
The Hall of Fame game?
Yeah.
Oh, less than that. Fawcett Field doesn't see that. It maybe seats 20.
Yeah, 20-something thousand people. Yeah, the network is going to lose. You know, and I don't know who televises it, but somebody televises it.
NBC has it with their Sunday night football package.
Ah, come on. You know, big throw it away.
Well, but if it wins the ratings. All right, so we've got a lot to talk about in the second half hour, and we will do that. Any thoughts on what you want to talk about? Tease the folks.
Well, I mean, we got a lot to talk about still when it comes to labor, and then also the NFL lost a good friend last week.
All right.
And just want to make mention of that.
Let's do that when we return. You're listening to Jaguars This Week. You can become a part of Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, visit jaguarsadvantage.com. News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week. 24 more minutes left in our show. And, Jeff, you alluded before the break to the loss of a friend, not just for the NFL, but yours personally and someone with ties here in the Jacksonville organization.
Yeah, when I was a first-round draft pick of the New York Jets, it was kind of a unique situation up there with the Jets because there was kind of a family affair in the equipment room and really legendary among NFL circles. The head equipment manager at that time was Bill Hampton Sr. The assistant equipment manager was Bill Hampton Jr. We just called him Jr. The other son, Clay Hampton, was the equipment assistant. And then Derek was the equipment intern. And then on game day, Brian Hampton, who works on Wall Street, came and ran the officials' locker room on game day. And then Drew Hampton, who is now the Jaguars' head equipment manager at that time, was working at UPS, and he would handle the visitors' locker room on game day. And Bill Hampton Jr., who handled the Jets' equipment for many years, passed away last week, middle part of last week, of a heart attack, and couldn't be saved. They put him to rest yesterday in New York. And great guy, has been around the league for a long time. Billy was the assistant equipment manager, like I said, for the Jets. He left there, ended up going to work for NFL Properties. I think he bounced around for a little bit, and then he settled in. His job that he had just had was head of football for Under Armour, which, you know, has been one of the fastest growing success story companies in the United States in the last decade, or certainly the last couple decades. And he'll be sorely missed by a lot. I talked to Drew, the Jaguars equipment manager, And as Drew said, he's never had to deal with anything like that. And I can certainly can't relate to that because I haven't lost a brother like that. But, you know, they had five brothers, and they were all very close family. A lot of them were relocated down here. And he will be sorely missed. And I was telling Drew the other day on the phone the funny story that I remember from Junior. And Junior passed at the age of 51. I'm 44. So we were pretty close in age, and we had dinner all the time. We hung out. It was me and Junior and Clay. And so anyway, I finally signed my contract after being a holdout in training camp. And at that time, you know, I was a first-round draft pick, 14th pick overall in the draft, signed a four-year, $2.1 million contract. That'll give you it'll make you shake your head, right? Yeah, I mean, well, for what the numbers are today. My signing bonus at that time was $675,000, you know, pre-tax. So, of course, it was a lot less than that.
Yeah.
So the day that I get my check, here comes Junior with the equipment cart, which they would put the bags with the shoulder pads and all. Each player had their own, the one that they used to wheel out to the truck. Here comes Junior pushing this cart, and he's like, oh, straining to push it, and there was nothing on it but an envelope. And it was my signing bonus check. Now, it's one of the funniest memories that I have, a sad week last week because Billy has gone on to bigger and better things. But at the same time, you know, a celebration of all the memories that he created in people's lives because he really affected a lot of lives.
You know, we did a story on the Hampton family for one of the Jack Del Rio shows last year. And when you see the memorabilia, you see the way that they had kind of spread out through the league. I think didn't one of them work in the Browns front office too?
Billy did.
Okay. So when you look
Junior,
to see the ties, you know, there's not necessarily a first family of the NFL. But I tell you what, I mean, when you start looking at the Hamptons would have to be considered just because of their history, both in the AFL with the old New York Titans, which is where Mr. Hampton Sr. started, to where, you know, where Drew and Billy and those guys are today.
Yeah, I had a great time in my 6 years playing for the New York Jets. And I can honestly say that those 6 years were fun, in which we did not have a winning season ever in those 6 years. But it was fun. Mainly because of the Hampton family. Junior, Bill Hampton Sr., Clay, Derek Bryan, Drew, and, you know, all of those guys. And they made it fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun when I played for the New York Jets, and they were, if not the biggest, one of the biggest reasons for that.
Well, our condolences to the Hampton family as well. And we invite you to join us in the program this evening, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. So here we are now, still not quite certain of when we're going to see things start to fall. There are reports around the league that the Cowboys have loaded up their trucks and are headed for San Antonio, and the Eagles are putting up their tents at Lehigh, and the same with the Redskins at Redskin Park. I mean, all the signs are around here. I mean, you know, Johnny walked in here this evening, and he said, boy, there's people in here. There's action. There's movement.
Yeah,
We're getting there.
Yeah, you can really tell that there's a lot of activity going on here. And if we weren't where we are in the negotiations, I don't think that you would see that. And the positive thing about the proposed settlement is that they're talking about bringing key club executives up to New York, I believe, this weekend so that they can basically get debriefed on the rules going forward for this new collective bargaining agreement, which I assume for the Jaguars you would have a Gene Smith, a Tim Walsh, a Paul Vance, so that these people know the rules of, you know, the lay of the land of the NFL as we're going forward so that they can go ahead and make personnel. Terry McDonough, I'm sure, will be there because I think they're allowed to bring four key people from each franchise, and so I would imagine, you know, a Gene Smith, a Terry McDonough, Tim Walsh, a Paul Vance would be those four for the Jaguars, and then they would go up there and figure out what the rules are from free agency to contractual stuff and also to the rookie cap, which, you know, reports are that it could get cut, the guaranteed money could get cut in half from last year. And I said, what was it, 2-3 years ago, if I were a team and I needed a quarterback, I would try to hold off until the rookie cap situation gets fixed, right?
Yep. No, you did.
And
scoreboard again, Logs. You got it twice.
Guess who got a quarterback when this rookie thing this rookie mess and guaranteed money got fixed.
And
you sure you didn't get Gene on the boat earlier before the draft?
We think alike sometimes.
All right.
Well, you were talking earlier too, Jeff, about
I hope it's the right time.
You know, these guys going up there and getting to know the rules and the lay of the land. Knowing those rules and the lay of the land might be more important this next week than it has in years, because there is going to be an emphasis and a premium on operating quickly and wisely. There will be mistakes to be made, and franchises will make mistakes, and there will be gains to be made from being astute and being smart and knowing the rules better than the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you guys have known Gene longer than I have, but my impression is that if anybody's going to know the rules and have a plan, it's going to be Gene. So it'll, but I think though you will see, I think teams make some mistakes and some errors that set them way back in the coming weeks. Just as you will see some teams, you know, do some things that set them way ahead. Pretty crucial time.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back with one more segment, and we'll try to focus on football. And if you've got a thought, chime in. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Don't forget also, we're at facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. You're listening on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, here we go. About 11 minutes left in our program this evening from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, where, as we've told you, the activity level is starting to pick up. Still nothing done, but we expect that to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. And so then, as Jeff said earlier, we'll see a couple of days of a exclusive period where teams can sign their own guys. And the number one guy here is Mercedes Lewis.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still got the tender on him. So, I mean, yes, he is priority number one as far as, you know, your premium players that you want to get under contract for long term. But he's not going to go anywhere if you don't sign him in that exclusive window.
Right. No, I don't mean this. You know, so, got to get it done in 3 days. But.
So really the priority would be a guy like a Kirk Morrison, you know, that you can secure. But the question that really is out there, if you are a free agent, why would you want to sign in those 3 days and not find out what your market value is going to be in the new system after those 3 days are over? You know, there are some teams that are going to have to spend some money.
There might be a worry on some guys that if they don't, if
there might not be a chair for them to sit down when the music stops.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the boat.
Well, there's always that concern, but there are a lot of guys out there that are going to be free agents. I don't know the exact number, but it probably is going to be a record number. And I'd have to do a little digging to find out exactly what that is. But, I mean, you figure that a lot of those guys played on short-term contracts when the collective bargaining agreement expired and free agency bumped up. They kept saying, there's hope, you know, I don't want to sign a long-term deal. And they kept, signing tenders or whatever to get to that point to where they would be free.
So in an individual case, a guy may have been waiting 2 years to get to the marketplace.
Yeah.
Well, so, in that case, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's two ways to approach it if you're going to be a free agent. Well, I better get it now. Or do you say, I'm going to wait and find out because there may be another team that values me more? But
there's also
it were me, I would think that the team in this short period that we have, in the very short period you have to prepare for the regular season, there probably is not going to be a team that values you more than the team you were on.
I would say that'll be true for everybody except those elite level guys.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I had a question for Jeff, and I was thinking about it as we were talking earlier. When you played, you were obviously a leader in terms of the players' union and labor issues. Did you ever think that the players would get to a point where they're in as good a situation as they are now and as much power as they have in the league now?
I envisioned it when I first came into the league. Okay. I remember when, you know, we didn't even have true free agency. It was Plan B. And then there wasn't even Plan B prior to that.
Right.
And I remember Bruce Coslet, the head coach of the New York Jets at the time, saying, hey, there's never going to be free agency. And I told him then, I said, it's coming whether you like it or not.
Right.
It's coming because it's right. And, you know, my whole thing is, what's the principle? I mean, the principle is that a man or a woman should have the right to choose where they work.
Yep. Right.
And so I knew that it was coming, and I told Bruce at that time, I said, you have no idea what free agency is going to do to the popularity of the game. I said, it's going to now make it a year-round game because people are going to want to follow the league. Because remember back in the old days, I mean, when the season ended, you'd forget about it until the draft.
I can remember being a Redskins fan in 86 or 87, in the time that we can all kind of remember following the league, and the Skins signed Wilbur Marshall in some – You know, deal with free agency. It was sort of free agency, but you had to give up like two or three first round draft picks to do it. And it was a brief in the newspaper, and I read it in like an et cetera item in the roundup. That's how little interest there was in free agency. And now Wilbur Marshall at the time was a big time.
Oh yeah, player. Coming off that Chicago defense.
And that's just the difference. Now that would be obviously the internet has changed things too. But your point is well taken. It has turned it into such a year round. That would never be a blip in the radar in any sports fan's life in this day and age.
No, and I thought that the players could certainly do better. You know, when I first came in the league, I never envisioned the money getting as large as it is. And I credit the players for some of that, but I also give credit to ownership because they're the ones that there's some very bright people that work at the league office, NFL properties, and then owners in the National Football League. Because look what look at the first round draft picks, what they've been paid from the numbers that I mentioned, mm-hmm. what I made, and you compare that to a first round pick of today. I mean, wow, what a difference. And the owners are the ones that had vision in a lot of areas to generate income and obviously to networks saw the value of the NFL and what it does.
And the thought is that over the lifetime of this CBA, that $9.4 billion annual number will double.
Well, that's what they say, and I don't know if that's going to be true or not because, I mean, we're not exactly in a great economic situation in this country. That's a whole other conversation. But it certainly has the potential for growth because there's a lot of untapped revenue sources that are, you know, even outside these borders.
I don't think they're going to be traditional. I mean, there'll be some, but there's going to be some non-traditional revenue sources that they can tap that are
well,
going to.
The revenue is going to jump as soon as they open up the Thursday night package to bid.
That'll be a big part of it.
You know, I've said for many years, man, I'm a huge fan of the NFL Network, and there's got to be a way to make that a network that really is a place to go to on a daily basis.
Right. Well, you understand that's one of those revenue sources I'm talking about. You can on a Verizon phone. I don't know whether you have one or not, but you can watch the NFL Network.
I was watching them last year on the bus coming back from road games.
Exactly.
I was watching live Sunday night football on my phone.
And that's
me and Joe would be in the back of the bus watching the game live. It's crazy.
And that's it. And that's where the revenue growth is going to be.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's an app. And, I mean, think of the money that you can generate off of that app. I mean, there's a lot of ways to grow it. And I really understand what the owners want in this. And I said for a lot of months now that I really understand both sides of the fence. And that's you as a business, you've got to be able to invest to increase revenue mm-hmm. in the future. And by having the players piece of the pie cut a little bit, it's going to allow the owners to invest in the game going forward. And that's a good thing because, you know, hey, the owners aren't stupid. You know, they're very smart guys. They want the money to invest in the game so that the revenue grows for everybody down the road. And it's a good thing. I've never been a big fan of the total football revenue model, but at least by trimming the pie, so to speak, it allows the owners to do some things that they want to do, and that's good for the game.
355 NFL 1.
I still, at some point, I want to be able to see the fans to be able to come to an NFL game, have on-demand replay from where they are, on their phone or from their seat,
they
from
had
the monitor.
In Washington, when we were there in 06, and they came and they brought us those handheld, what were they, mm-hmm. kangaroo
That's
monitors.
Coming. That's coming.
And you can change your seat angle.
And the other thing that I've wanted to see for a lot of years in the NFL is, you know, you go to a NASCAR race and you hear the crew chief to driver
right.
radio. Why not have something similar to where you can hear a lot of the action from inside the stadium only?
Because this is rocket science, Jeff.
To be awesome, though.
We did it in NFL Europe.
No, I know. But, you know, there's a lot of teams out there, and I worked for one for a long time. You know, any information like that, teams intrinsically do not want to give away. But I agree with you.
But on delay.
It's coming.
If it's coming on delay, you know, then it doesn't impact anything. But, I mean, there's some things that I think that are going to be in the mix, certainly for the game day experience.
Well, and basically, I mean, if you go back 10 years, did you envision being able to sit in the back of the bus and watch live NFL? You didn't.
Never.
So it isn't what we know today. It's what these bright guys and girls are going to come up with for us in the future.
I remember watching Star Trek, and they had that beep beep, you know, and they'd be talking to each other from, you know, from the starship down from some planet, and you'd be going, man, that is so cool.
You right. know,
well, we've got two-way direct connect. You know, Nextel made it huge. I mean, Star right. Trek.
We got on a plane coming back from somewhere last year, and I remember one of the sponsors, one of the guests had a teenage son. He goes, oh, man, I thought we were going to get the plane with the television in it like we had on the flight out. And I said to him, here's what you can't imagine is getting on the plane not having anything after a game. Your cell phone was such a non-factor. We didn't know scores. We waited for the pilot
to feed
the scores to Dan Edwards, who would then, you know, read them out. That was the only way we knew.
I always bore my son with the stories, and I tell people I was a huge Redskins fan growing up. I can remember at times having to wait until the next morning to get a score. And, you know, and that's going to date you, and, you know, why the kids don't believe it, but, you know, it's
yeah,
you know,
pick up a newspaper to find out what the score was.
Right, you know, late baseball, you know.
Well, Howard Cosell's halftime highlights on sure. Monday Night Football in the 70s. They were the biggest part of it.
Right, and, you know, it's certainly an exciting time to be covering the league, and as Jeff said, I think the point of what we're talking about is this deal is, I think, going to allow the league to continue to take advantage of these things and not just get bigger.
Well, now that this labor deal is getting close to be settled, once it does, you know, get to the point where it's completed, there is a lot of work to do for the teams. And I'm talking from the personnel standpoint of filling out your rosters, free agency, undrafted rookies, signing your own, getting camps organized in a very short period of time, getting the players in, but also from a marketing and ticket mm-hmm. standpoint. And this team is not unique. There are a lot of teams in the league that have a lot of work to do to sell tickets, to sell advertising, et cetera.
That is the rule this year, not the exception. John, Jeff, John, Joe, thanks so much. Talk to you guys next week, hopefully getting ready for camp.